Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I saw this article in Radio Insight about the first Christmas songs traditional radio stations that flipped to all Christmas played this year, and there were a couple surprises, not many, but a couple. First, not a surprise, many stations kicked things off with Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Mm-hmm. The next most popular was It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, split between versions by Andy Williams and Johnny Mathis. Next, the Christmas song by Nat King Cole, although a station in Cincinnati actually started their season with the version by Michael Bublé. Next was Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow by Dean Martin. Next, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5. Next, We Wish You a Merry Christmas by Kenny G, which I thought was an interesting choice. Frank Sinatra's Jingle Bells, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Leanne Rimes, not Brenda Lee. Elton John's Step Into Christmas. And finally, a station in Portland, Oregon flipped all Christmas music with We Need a Little Christmas from Percy Faith.
That's a good one.
I have no idea how much thought went into any of this, but from what I know of traditional radio, I doubt any of these songs were picked randomly. And I'm not sure how significant the first song is for a station when it flips to all Christmas, other than distancing itself from the regular format. But it made me wonder about first Christmas songs for the rest of us. So I invited a bunch of my friends to come on and we'll talk about this. Ashley from the Magic of the Season podcast is here. Robert from Behind the Bells. Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast. And Suzanne from Suzanne's Band. Thank you guys for coming on today.
Hey, great.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Of course.
Thanks for having us.
Before we delve into this, I'd kind of like you each to sort of introduce yourselves and what your podcast or what your music is about. Ashley, how about you starting?
So the Magic of the Season podcast is kind of a, it's more of like a nostalgic look into my life personally, but also like I talk more about like Christmas in the 90s, holidays in the 90s. What I experienced or what I thought I experienced as like an average family growing up. And I try to pull in a little bit of history on each of the different holidays that I go through. So yeah, it's a little bit of nostalgia if you want to put it that way.
And Robert, how about you and Behind the Bells?
Well, speaking of nostalgia, my show dwells into a different kind of nostalgia, and that is essentially going into the classics like The Home Alone, It's a Wonderful Life, or even TV specials like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. And I essentially go into the behind-the-scenes stories of how they were created, who came up with the idea, who wrote it, how it was shot, how it was released, and really dwell into, well, just the history of how those things were made and became the classics as they are today.
And Scott, the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast?
Hey, Ken. My podcast is all about Japanese Christmas music. Everything is taken from my personal collection. Each episode, I talk about the history of the artists and the music and play the album as I discuss them.
And Suzanne, right. even though you don't have a podcast.
I know. Well, I'm a local artist here in the good old state of Texas. And the umbrella that I fall under is Americana, but we do a mix of everything, pop, country, rock, blues, roll it all together. And when we play live, we do songs all the way back from the 60s, 70s and up. But when I write original music, which I'm also a Grammy artist, it tends to fall more in the Americana lane for the most part. But I also really love Christmas music. So I've got some Christmas originals out there. And hoping to make some more.
Nice. I'm hoping that you do too. Okay. the first Christmas song that you play to kind of kick off the season. Suzanne, how about you?
Well, it may be a little bit obscure, but I really love Styx. You know, I can, and that classic rock kind of sound. And I think Dennis DeYoung's a, you know, really great songwriter. And so I play When I Hear a Christmas Song, which is by Dennis DeYoung. And he dedicated it to his wife, also named Suzanne. And so that's another attachment I have to the song, I guess. But it's really nice, you know, really nice arrangement. And so that's what I do to kind of start off my season.
Ashley, how about you?
It was hard for me to choose, I'll be honest. And there's different reasons for it, because there's sometimes I'm looking for like a nostalgic look at it. And when I'm looking at it that way, I'm looking for Christmas Is by Percy Faith. And if I'm just like into the feels of, you know, my own kind of bringing up, or, you know, through high school and stuff, I'm looking for It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas from Michael Bublé. And then if I'm really feeling like I need the Christmas magic, I go for Believe by Josh Groban.
Robert?
Okay, well, as standard as this answer may be for a lot of people, it's got to be The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole. And a lot of that really stems from the fact that, A, it was a song that was always a consistent play at my grandparents' place close to the holidays, so it really brings me home. But on top of that, it also has a lot to do with one of the first Christmas albums that I ever bought, so it kind of has been a nostalgic place for myself as well. But whenever I hear that song, it always just feels like going home to me, and I think that's probably going to remain my favorite for a long time, even though there's a lot of other songs that were close, but they just weren't as close as The Christmas Song.
And how about you, Scott?
So with the podcast, I pretty much listen to Christmas music every day, but I consider October 1st to be, you know, the kickoff of the actual Christmas music season. And as soon as I get down here, you know, the morning of October 1st, the first thing I'll play is Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano.
You know, I'm kind of in the same boat. The Sounds of Christmas station is on year round, and in October we play Halloween music, but the other 11 months, it's all Christmas. So it's easy to lose sight of when the supposed season begins. For the Sounds of Christmas station, the season starts on November 1st. And I always start it with either Christmas Is Coming by the Paolas, which was an early 80s, new wave-ish maybe, non-hit, or Big Bad Voodoo Daddy with Christmas Is Starting Now, because I just feel like that's really, that says it all. Christmas is starting now.
Now.
How about Christmas albums? Let's go back the other way. Scott, is there a Christmas album that you listen to sort of get in the spirit?
John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together. That has been my family's favorite since, you know, we got it the day it came out back in 79. And it just, I mean, it took over our record player. So it more than any other album, it embodies Christmas for me.
Robert, how about you?
Okay, well, this should probably show what era I grew up in, but that album that that I first bought as my first Christmas album, the one I listened to, is that compilation album, Now That's What I Call Christmas.
I have to ask what it is about that particular album, if there is anything, and I'm not being snarky or judgmental, because there are a lot of great songs on that.
Well, I think simply because it was one of the first, along with being one of the first I ever bought, it was also the first album that I ever owned that just had all the classics on there. And even as a kid, I was just never really into a lot of the modern artists or so. And really, I guess, showcased just how much I really appreciated a lot of the older sounds. And I don't know if that just makes me an old soul or something.
No, that's fair. Ashley, how about you?
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with the Michael Bublé's Christmas album. It came out, I think, in 20, 2009 maybe, or 2010. And the reason why I love it so much is it was like the very first Christmas CD that I bought. I've always had my family stuff that was passed down to me, so I've always just listened to what I've had. But something that I physically went out and bought myself was that album, and I listened, and it came out, I think it was October 27th, and I bought it, and I listened to it nonstop to a point where it started to have the like wear marks in the CDs. And then I had to go buy another one. I think it was 2 years after, because I completely destroyed it. And anyways, that always reminds me of my Christmas growing up.
Suzanne, the first Christmas album you listened to kick off the season?
Oh, well, it was this baby right here that I inherited.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that? The man himself. And I always, you know, like his style. And then okay. We have this one that I inherited. The good
oh, my God.
Alrighty.
Okay, but this is, for the most part, going to be just audio. So.
Yep. So this
you have
one,
to tell us what those were that just went by.
Elvis's first Christmas album. I think it just says Elvis sings Christmas songs. Bing Crosby, Perry Como, all the greats. But the one that was gifted to me was the Osmonds Christmas album, because back in the 70s, they had the variety show and all that was going on. So they were kind of a big deal. So that's what I got gifted with. But I think the one that I actually physically paid for was probably Amy Grant, I think, if memory serves me. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year and all those that she did.
You know, the Osmonds, Pine Cones and Holly Berries still has a little of that Christmas magic for me.
Mm-hmm.
I still get that. I'm curious, as a singer and with a band, what was the first Christmas song that you covered?
Well, this is going to be another obscure song, but it was actually a Juice Newton / Andy Williams song called Christmas Needs Love. Andy Williams did it first, but I really like Juice Newton's voice, and you know, I felt like I was in her range. So I was looking for that type of song, and so I started with that one.
Okay. I can't really ask anybody else that. But but I'm just nosy, so I wanted to know. The first Christmas album I bought, I remember having the Beach Boys Christmas album and the Chipmunks, but I think those were handed down from older siblings, could have even been my mom's. I still like them. The first one that I remember buying, because I'm such a Christmas music junkie, was a children's album called In Harmony 2 that had popular artists of the day recording children's songs. And at the end of the second side was Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. This was 1981. This was before it was out on CD or available anywhere. This was the only place you could find it. And I found it in, and this will show how old I am, I found it in a cutout bin. Does anybody know what a cutout bin is?
Nope.
I don't.
Okay. When music came out on vinyl and an album didn't sell pretty fairly well, they made a cut in the end of the cover, and it was then reduced to like $1.99 or something, and there would be a big bin in the record stores, in department stores that carried records, wherever. And because I was such a Christmas music junkie, I was always pawing through to see what was in there. And I found this one, and I knew what I had. I mean, I was only 15, 16 years old, but I knew this was the only way you could get that song. So I had to have it.
That's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
I know the most memorable Christmas album that I bought would have been Mannheim Steamrollers' first Christmas album. That one, I walked in the record store, and it was still a record store, and they just put it on. And this is the first time I'm hearing this. And it sounds so familiar and yet so different from anything I'd ever heard, I had to have it. Do any of you guys, I know going into record stores is probably something that I may be the only one who has done, but do any of you have a really memorable record, a Christmas album that you bought? I'm guessing, Scott, that you do.
Yeah, the first two that I bought, ever since 79, all we listened to at the house was, Christmas Together, and then two Firestone compilations, Popular Christmas Classics and Happy Holidays. And, you know, we have those on repeat from, pretty much the whole year. And I believe I was 16, went to the paint store with my dad. I don't remember what he was painting. I don't remember which room. But as he's checking out, there was a rack right by the register of cassette tapes, and it was a Christmas display. And I looked, and I'm like, hey, there's Bing Crosby. I'm like, we have never had that Bing Crosby album. And right next to it was Leon Redbone's Christmas Island. And, you know, I'd seen the Bud commercials. I'd seen a couple things with his on MTV. I was like, I have got to get this album. So Bing Crosby and Leon Redbone, those were the first two Christmas tapes that I bought.
Robert, were there any Christmas albums that have a particular strong memory of when you picked them up?
Well, I got kind of a different story, because it's an album that also has an unexpected Christmas song on there. So it was around middle school, around maybe 2003. Yeah, definitely shows you what era I grew up in. When a buddy of mine had handed me a CD called Oceanborn by the Finnish symphonic metal group Nightwish, that's still performing to this day. It's a great group. And even though most of the songs were all rock songs, there was one song on there that it didn't take me long to identify as technically a Christmas song. And it was their own cover of Walking in the Air, which is a song from the animated cartoon special, The Snowman.
Oh.
And then with the way that they do it, even though it still has a symphonic metal kind of sound to it, the singer, the main lead singer of the group, just has such a beautiful angelic voice. It really amplifies the song in a way that, I almost consider better than the original version of the song.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ashley?
So two things. One, there was a tape that I consider very, I think like Jerry talked about it, I don't even know what it's called, because it was just in our home all the time. And it was like a legacy or something of Christmas. And it had all the classics on it. But it was something.
Time Life Treasury of Christmas.
That's it. That's it. Literally that. And I just loved it so much. It had just songs that reminded me, because my grandfather moved from Ireland to live with us in Canada. And, there were so many songs in there that he just loved so much. And anytime they come on, he lit up. So every time I hear any of those songs, it reminds me of that tape that just kept going through and through. Because even when I grew up, there wasn't really a radio station to listen to that played Christmas music all the time that we could get in the house until, I would say in the last, I don't know, maybe 15, 20-ish years. But that tape is what I always resonate with. That, and then I did work at a record store, but it was called Music World. And it turned from a record store to a CD store and all that. So I was in the end of the era. But when I started working there, it was just before Christmas time. And they went from like playing, I don't know, some small rock band. And then they started playing Boney M. And they started with it. And they never changed it once. And I requested every single day. I'm a Christmas lover. And I love Christmas so much. But I would love to take that CD and I would like to throw it into the Atlantic Ocean if I was anywhere close to it. I don't know why. I just couldn't. I think because working in retail in the middle of Christmas and then this song continuously playing over and over. I've got a love for one, and now I've that I hate for another album. So I'm sorry if anybody is Boney M fans, but I just could not. I just can't.
I certainly get it. That's one of the reasons I started the Sounds of Christmas station, was because when you talk about the Christmas music listening season, so many people get that look like they want to put a gun in their mouth, because radio stations play the same songs over and over and over. And there's so much out there. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we have mentioned so far is stuff that wasn't on that list of the station of what stations started playing when they kicked off their season. But there's just so much that's out there, even other Boney M Christmas songs. I know that probably doesn't excite you, but there is just so much. Suzanne, is there a particular Christmas album that holds a special memory when you bought it?
Yeah, I didn't really have, you know, that many other than, you know, the ones I was showing you. But I think some of the ones that have just made a difference hearing them and were like inspirational with their creativeness of how they started doing Christmas music. I think of people like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra or Straight No Chaser or Pentatonix, those that just brought a whole new vibe to Christmas music, you know, in a way that nobody had ever experienced before, and just kind of knocked us back a little bit. It's like, what are they doing? So those are kind of cool.
I love that you brought all of those three up, because they are all so very different, but they all have such a important place in, I think, everyone's like family life now. It's very interesting that you brought those up.
I remember when I was working in a record store and CDs started to become a big deal. And we got in one of the trade magazines that we got, there was an ad for a Christmas album by John Anderson, the singer from Yes. It was called Three Ships. And I couldn't wait till that came out. That was the first Christmas album that I bought on CD. I had a player in my car, and I couldn't wait to just pop that in when I left. And if you like that early era of Yes, you'll really like, I mean, his voice is unmistakable, but you'll really like the songs. There are some covers, there are some originals. If you search YouTube for it, you will find some very 80s weird videos that he did for the songs from that album, but don't hold that against him. It was a weird time for all of us, but that album, I didn't know when CDs were starting to become a thing. I didn't know, do I need to get the record and the CD now? What do I do? And then when that came out, I was like, I just have to have this, and I want to be able to play it now.
Now, see, the first CD I ever bought, we're at home, and the infomercial for the Time Life Treasure of Christmas came on, and it was a special deal. You bought the one, and you got the other one at a reduced cost. And I'm like, you know, that's like, what, 60-odd Christmas songs on four CDs. So I caught up and ordered it, and, 4 to 6 weeks later, I got the CDs, just didn't have a CD player.
You know, Scott,
you got ahead of yourself.
You had mentioned those Firestone records. Does anybody else know what the Firestone records were?
No.
Scott, do you know what they were?
Oh, yeah. Back in the, what, 60s and 70s, up into the 80s, you'd go into tire stores, and every Christmas, they'd have a new compilation album that, you know, you buy your tires and get a, I don't know, did they give the records away free? Or I think you could just go in and buy the records.
I think you could buy them, but depending on how much work you were having done on your car, you might have gotten one free. But you probably paid for it anyway. You just might not know.
All I know is that my dad must have hit some nasty potholes in 77 and 78.
I don't remember. Will you have them? What are some of the, just a few of the songs?
Jingle Bells by the Brady Bunch. White Christmas by Dean Martin, which for years. I didn't realize that that was not Bing Crosby. What is it? Pete Fountain's on there. One of the tracks from Candy Clarinet. Margaret Whiteheen and Jimmy Wakely's Silver Bells, which has always been my favorite version of the song because of that. Trying to remember. I should have pulled them up because...
That's all right. it was an interesting mix of a lot of artists of the day with Christmas music that you couldn't really get any other way. And it's kind of almost mind-blowing now that you could go into a tire store and get a Christmas album that had stuff on it that you couldn't get anywhere else. I mean, there's nothing to compare that to in 2024. You're not going to be able to go into Advance Auto and, you know, get a QR code that gives you a stream of some new song that nobody else can have. Although that's a really good idea. And if they want to do that, I'd like 10%. But there's nothing like that. And there used to be, you know, I don't want to be get off my lawn guy, but there used to be that you could go into these kind of different stores and get something unique like that, a Christmas album. Sometimes they were flexi discs. You guys know what flexi discs are?
Yeah, I have quite a few.
Yeah.
It was just like it sounds. It was a small record that was frequently it was clear, but sometimes it was black to look like vinyl, but it was very rubbery and flexi, and you could mail them. That's how the Beatles sent out a lot of their Christmas messages on flexi discs. But it used to be that you could go into places and get something. And I'm not saying that that was necessarily better, because today you can open up Spotify or you can open up YouTube and you can search for anything and you can find 27 other things you didn't know you were looking for that you need to listen to now and put them in a playlist. And inside of an hour, you've got 150 songs that you love now that you didn't even know about yesterday. So that's pretty cool too. I get that it's not, you know, I'm not saying bring back the tire store records, but that's what those were. What about, since we're sort of talking about streaming, do you have any memory of when streaming started to become big, the first Christmas songs that you streamed? Robert?
Okay, well, this is kind of an interesting one, because even though I already had this album on CD beforehand, back when I was first able to start using iTunes, when it made its big debut, well, because the CD I had for this album kind of got scratched out, this is one of the first ones I repurchased, and that is the soundtrack album for the live-action Grinch movie, which again, has a combination of very modern-day Christmas songs, including... I think it might be the only Christmas song by Smash Mouth. And then, of course, it has a good chunk of the James Horner score from the movie.
Ashley?
The Bare Naked Ladies, too. Come on.
Yeah.
So, actually, I wanted to go into this a little bit. I just didn't know where I was going to fit it in. But so you guys are all talking about albums. And to be honest, yeah, I'll listen to an album. But from the minute I need to feel Christmas, I go on to a radio show and I find a radio show like yours, Ken, that's all year round. And I find a radio show because I like the feeling of the, you know, there's sometimes jingles in between songs and there's like, you know, the countdown to Christmas. And there's little things that remind me that I'm just not the only person listening to Christmas music, that there's other people also still doing that. And I am like, I'm obsessed. When I go and listen to Christmas music, I go to my Apple, I go to the radio player and I go look for a radio station, or I listen to yours, Ken. And it just gives me I'm not stuck in a mall and listening to the same four songs over again. I get to listen to so many different things and I get to hear everyone's, you know, advertisements. And so it keeps me in the holiday spirit. And I've been like that since, I can't even tell you, but I'm one of those like, yes, flip it to Christmas, like flip it to Christmas. I'm like all over people's Facebooks. I'm watching radio stations flip over. I am just in love with radio stations because I just find there's more, I don't know, there's a more authentic look at it than going to look for a playlist.
When I was a little kid, we lived in Virginia Beach, and there was a department store there called Smith & Welton. I don't know if that still exists. I don't know if it was a chain and it was anywhere. But in December, they had commercials, "Have yourself a Smith & Welton Christmas," to the tune of "Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas."
Yeah.
I was 6 or 7, and that's how I learned that song. I didn't know there was another one. So when I heard it on the radio, I would think they're getting the words wrong. It's "Have yourself a Smith & Welton Christmas." And I'm sure that the marketing people at Smith & Welton are very happy to hear this if they're still around. But that was, and it made me, gave me that little Christmas feel. That's not really streaming, because that was way before.
Of course.
But the same kind of thing. It gave me that, you know.
Yeah. That little... Do you guys have a Kmart in the States, or do you guys ever have a Kmart?
Not anymore.
The last one's closed.
Okay. Yeah. So Kmart, I don't know if they did this where you guys are, but in the 90s when we had Kmart around, and Zellers, so we had a Zellers as well, which is kind of like your Target, but ours has been closed for over 10 years now. They had their own Christmas music that would play, and you can actually go on YouTube and listen to like what a Kmart would be playing in the 90s. And same thing, Ken. It's like, it just gives me that like, oh yeah, I was being dragged around while my mom was putting stuff on layaway in November. Like, it just gives me that feeling. There's just,
yeah. I think Kmart did that for a very long time. I have memories of that from the 80s and probably before. Suzanne, how about you with streaming? Is there a particular streaming Christmas song that holds a special memory to you, or the first one?
The thing that I enjoyed being able to do was pick out artists that I already enjoyed, like Gloria Estefan or Hanson, or just, you know, some are NSYNC, and going in and looking up Christmas songs by, and then that artist, and then pulling things up. And I was hearing things that I had never heard on the radio. You know, a lot of them were very different. And so that's kind of how I created my first Christmas playlist, was with all these new songs that were new to me, but by artists that I really enjoyed, and it was really cool. It made me enjoy Christmas more, because like you said, you hear the same songs just being sung over and over and over again. And it just, you think, man, my ear's just tired. Surely there's something else. And so it was a nice way to open that door and enjoy Christmas again with new things.
Scott, any particular streaming?
So are we talking just legal streaming, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the illegal.
Never know who's listening. Yeah, let's keep it.
Not so much streaming, but downloads. When years ago, Amazon would have their MP3 advent calendar each year, where every day you'd get a special deal on a song or an album. I bought a ton of stuff for the couple years they were doing that. But the best one was they had the Phil Spector Christmas album for 99 cents. Wow. So that I just got such a big thrill out of that at the time, because, you know, it was a legal download without any of those artifacts. And and you can't beat, I mean, for classic albums, 99 cents, you can't beat that.
For me, and this is kind of a cheat, although it was legal, I was working at a traditional radio station, and the record label sent us an MP3 of O Holy Night by The Coors. And this was back when The Coors broke through and Breathless was a giant hit. So I was very excited about that, although I wasn't sure what to expect. And it is a beautiful version of O Holy Night. It's just amazing. And that's one of those songs, O Holy Night and Silent Night are songs that I usually save until maybe the week of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they still have that magic. They still have it. And this version by The Coors that I wasn't expecting absolutely did that. And that was probably, I think that was the first MP3 of any kind that I had. The record labels were starting this thing where they would send it to make sure all the radio stations got the music at the same time. They started sending it out as digital releases to radio, so everybody would get it, you know, within seconds of each other. And this was one, and I don't know if the station I worked at, if we ever played it, but I took it home. Pretty sure that the statute of limitations on that
I played
out.
It.
I played it. I still play it. Anything that we haven't really gotten to that you think would fall under the umbrella of first Christmas songs, Robert?
Well, I'd say that, well, not necessarily an album, but a video that I used to pop on a lot as a little kid. Do you remember when Disney used to put out all those old sing-along tapes that were big? Well, yeah. One of the ones that I used to watch a lot was A Very Merry Disney Christmas, which was probably one of the first ways I got exposed to a lot of the classic holiday songs. Which, yeah, even though they were being done through Disney characters and just all this compilation footage of other Disney movies, that's another one that really holds pretty close to my heart.
You know, I from one of those Disney records, there was a song Jiminy Cricket did, Wishing You a Merry Christmas, and it's probably a minute long, but I finally found that recently, and I was like, okay. And it's a little bit goofier than I remember it, but it still has that nostalgia and that magic, and I'm like, okay, I don't care what anybody says. It's my station. I'm playing this.
Jiminy Cricket's cover of Tommy Edwards' Kris Kringle is just one of my all-time favorite songs.
Scott, is there something that you think should have talked about with first Christmas songs?
Not so much a first Christmas song, but something that when Ashley was talking about her Boney M experience, something I remembered was, you know, I worked at an Eastern European restaurant all throughout college. So year round, we had Lithuanian folk songs playing nonstop, except for around Christmas. First year there, you know, I'd gotten to the point where I didn't even realize the Lithuanian music was playing. And my boss comes in, she said, all right, we're going to start playing Christmas music now. And I was thrilled. So she goes in back, she gets the CD player, and she puts on Garth Brooks' first Christmas CD.
Wow. Whiplash, so she's that culture shock.
So thankfully, within a few weeks, she let me take over playing most of the Christmas music. I still had to throw Garth in every once in a while, but, you know, month and a half each year, I got to have some influence on what we listen to.
I feel that.
Ashley, anything that you can think of first Christmas song wise?
I guess to be honest, so one of the Christmas, I guess, movies that came out that was really big for me when I was like old enough to really remember its impact, because obviously like the Santa Claus came out in 94, I was only four, but it's a huge impact, but the Grinch That Stole Christmas live action came out in 2001 and I was 11, so that was, it made such a huge impact on me. I was such a Grinch lover, so when that came out, the soundtrack just played on repeat. I believe when I was in grade 7, the choir was doing, like, I was in the choir and we were doing a Christmas concert. And the person, I don't know who she was, but she was like, okay, well, let's put it together and let's decide what songs we're playing. And I was like, we're going to do Faith Hill, just so everyone knows. And I was like, what? What do you mean Faith Hill? So anyways, I had to explain to everybody how Faith Hill came into it. Yeah, we butchered it, to be honest. We completely butchered it because there's just no ranging. We do not have the range for Faith Hill. But I just loved that whole album, just like Robert was saying. Like, and it was the first, impacted Christmas movie that like put a just burned right into my system. So if I can talk about, you know, that and what else? Some of the Santa Clauses. So the Santa Claus 2 and 3, like there's I think Hilary Duff sings Santa Claus Lane. And that one, for some reason, is very poppy, but it stuck with me. I'm a traditionalist, so I don't love newer things, but I loved that. I thought she did a great job of that. And then, yeah, that's, yeah.
You know, since you and Robert both mentioned the Grinch soundtrack, I just have to say, I can't believe Perfect Christmas Night was never a hit. And that hardly anybody has covered it. I thought that was such a great song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Suzanne, any first Christmas song things that that we missed?
No, I was just thinking back to what Ashley said earlier about the fact that, you know, it wasn't until fairly recently, you know, that we were even able to have Christmas music on all the time. You know, we were talking about this at dinner tonight with my drummer slash husband. I said, well, what do you remember about Christmas music? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, what did you hear? And he goes, we didn't hear anything. They would play a song or two, and then it was regular top 40, and then a song or two, and then it was regular. You know, you just didn't have stations just completely going Christmas. And I think even maybe into the 90s, maybe the day after Thanksgiving or something, they would start and play for about a month. But, you know, I think it was maybe in the 2000s, and you might know this, Ken, better than me, when stations would start backing it up and playing it a little bit earlier and a little bit longer. And so I thought that was a cool first, you know, when stations started going to an all-day Christmas format. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I worked at a station in Cincinnati in the 90s, and that all Christmas stuff started to happen, and I was really excited about it because I love Christmas music, and I couldn't wait. And then we started playing it, and it's the same, you know, it's like working in retail. It's the same songs over and over. You know, you come in for your shift. I was on the morning show, and you come in, and you've got your log of what songs you're playing, and you look at it and you're like, oh geez, again. And in the 90s, Kenny G had giant Christmas album after giant Christmas album after giant Christmas album, and you're like, oh, Kenny G again. Oh my god.
Oh,
and it's the same and the same songs. Oh. And it did. And the thing is, a lot of consultants back then were saying, this is a mistake, you're gonna upset your audience, and they were wrong because people loved it. So advertisers loved it. So then they started to say, well, if they love it from the day after Thanksgiving, maybe they'll love it the week before Thanksgiving. Oh, they do? Maybe they'll love it the day after Halloween.
Halloween.
And they do. And I mean, I know it sounds hypocritical coming from me because The Sounds of Christmas plays Christmas music 11 months out of the year. But I get that starting on November 1st, everybody's not ready for Christmas music.
I get that.
We might be, but everybody else is not. And what I always say is that when you are ready, we're ready for you.
Yeah.
We've got it going. I'm not trying to make anybody listen to Mariah Carey every hour. I don't play Mariah Carey every hour. And I play a lot of her songs, not just the one. But whenever you're ready, if you're ready 2 weeks into November, if you're ready the week of Thanksgiving, if you're ready December 1st, whenever, we're ready. If it's March and you need a little bit of musical Christmas spirit, we're there. But and I only have advertising in November and December, so I'm not looking at this as a big cash cow. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna have advertisers lined up all year long. No, I'm not doing that. But I get it. Before we wrap things up, I want everybody to talk about how people can find you and what you've got coming up. Suzanne, What's Suzanne's band up to?
Well, we just recently kind of went out on a limb, and I redid one of my songs off my last album as a Latin pop song, and it was up for a Grammy this season, but it was accepted for consideration, but I got tossed out by Shaboozy and a few other people that did remixes too. So if you have to lose to somebody, I guess Shaboozy's it. But so that was exciting. But other than that, we got a really, really super heavy gig schedule right now. It's our busiest December ever on the books, and it's been our busiest year. So that's kind of, it's been a blessing, but also it's just been tough to write new music, which is what I need to be doing because this is a recording year coming up. So the idea for 2025 is definitely get another Christmas song or two out, and plus okay. another album or two. So that's what the plan is. And if anybody wants to follow, like, hear the music, whatever, get my Christmas songs, they're at suzannesband.com. You can find them on the website. My two Christmas originals that you'll hear Ken post on a regular basis are Underneath the Tree, which is an acoustic kind of coffee house song. And if you want old school, I've got One More Night of Christmas, which is kind of like a Carpenters kind of Christmas song. So those are my two.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ashley, what's coming up on Magic of the Season?
Well, actually, I took everything down. So I unpublished everything because I wanted to start something. So I'm in the works with it, and I'm hoping I started in the works with it just before Halloween, and then things just took a turn in my family. So I'm hoping that I can do what I'm hoping to do, but I'm hoping to kind of start fresh and go from there. But typically I'm on Apple and Spotify and anywhere that you listen to, you know, iHeartRadio. And yeah, you can find me at the Magic of the Season podcast. And if you want some nostalgia and some magic in your life, then come check me out.
Okay, thank you. Scott, what's coming up on Holly Jolly Xmasu?
Right now, I'm in the middle of three episodes about Japanese electric guitar legend Takeshi Teriuchi. I'm hoping to get the last of those out before the month's up. Then I will start in on my December episodes. I've got some really great stuff lined up, including my first episode in December is going to be pulling from my stash of Japanese 78s. So you'll get to hear some very old Christmas music that I guarantee you can't find anywhere else. And you can find me just about anywhere you can find podcasts. There's one that you won't be able to find me, but otherwise.
But all the others you will.
Yeah.
Is it on Spotify, and did they remove you? Because, like, is this a thing that's happening everywhere?
I got removed a long time ago.
Oh, God. So. Jesus.
I actually removed myself from Spotify.
Okay.
Because they did a thing a year or two ago where they... Oh, I was going to show you air quotes, but you can't hear that. But just pretend you're seeing air quotes. Accidentally put commercials in almost every podcast that was on Spotify. These were commercials for Wild Turkey. So people who had podcasts that were Alcoholics Anonymous and recovery, all those podcasts were brought to you by Wild Turkey. And then Spotify just said, whoops, that was an accident. And I just felt like if that could be a mistake and they, however they did that, that somebody hit a button and suddenly commercials everywhere, I just can't imagine it doesn't happen again. So I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to have commercials in my podcast, which I don't right now, but if I was going to, I'd like to pick what they are. Yes. All the commercials on the Sounds of Christmas are from singers and bands promoting their Christmas music. I don't have any Wild Turkey commercials. I have nothing against Wild Turkey, but doesn't fit with the Sounds of Christmas.
No.
So,
no.
So I'll get off my soapbox now. Robert, what's coming up on Behind the Bells?
Well, coming from someone who hasn't been ejected from Spotify, you can certainly find Behind the Bells on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and of course, if you go to my website, behindthebells.com, you can also find all my episodes up there too. But anyway, I've got a special episode dedicated to the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland coming up pretty soon, which also segues my part one and my upcoming part two episode on behind-the-scenes story of Frosty the Snowman, on how that was all produced and created. And I've got another set of episodes coming in December. I can't say what they are yet, but I think everyone's going to enjoy them thoroughly.
Very cool. One of the things I loved about when I lived in Southern California about going to the Haunted Mansion is that at Christmas, which could start in September there, they completely redo the Haunted Mansion. And it's all Nightmare Before Christmas.
And oh, yeah.
I love Disney World, but it can't compare. The entire Haunted Mansion ride is different. It's filled with Jack Skellington and all the characters. And it's just amazing. And if you love that, so you've got that through Halloween and then through Christmas. It's just, what a treat.
But yeah, the funny thing about the Disney World one is that Disney Imagineering did actually craft a version of the Nightmare Before Christmas for Disney World, but they actually declined it, and thus that version went to Tokyo Disneyland instead. So Disneyland and Tokyo Disneyland are the only parks that get any kind of Nightmare Before Christmas overlay on their Haunted Mansion.
Interesting.
Wow.
No.
Before we go, there were a bunch of artists who wanted to be on tonight, but scheduling wouldn't allow it, but they sent me some little clips about their first Christmas song to kick off the season, so I wanted to let you hear those now.
Hi, this is Lori Berkner. My first Christmas song of the season is Vive le Vent, sung by Mireille Mathieu. It's a popular French Christmas carol meaning long live the wind, and it's sung to the tune of Jingle Bells. It was always my favorite Christmas song as a child, and it still is.
Hi there. This is Dan Ashley. The first Christmas song I listen to almost every year is It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams. Just a classic, and it always puts me in the best holiday mood. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Hi, this is Noreen Braun. And the first Christmas song I listen to every year to start off the season is Blue Christmas. It's a fave of mine.
Hi, this is Alicia and Victor from Fans of Jimmy Century. The first Christmas song that I listen to every year to kick off the holiday season is The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Andy Williams. And Victor's first song for this year, Snow Miser, Heat Miser, since we just recorded that song for a bonus track on our album.
This is Rhea Stevens, and the song that always kicks off a feeling of Christmas for me, no matter what time of year I play it, is Tennessee Christmas by Amy Grant. It was the first song I heard, I believe I was in the third grade, that was an original Christmas song that I hadn't heard a million times, and it was a singer-songwriter, and I loved it. I could feel the sincerity in it. And even though I did not grow up in Tennessee, I definitely feel like I would feel some FOMO not being home for Christmas. It's wonderful to travel, but home is really where the heart is when it comes to Christmas time.
Hi, I'm Judy Pancoast. The first Christmas song my family listens to every Thanksgiving to kick off the holiday season is The Elf's Lament by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Hey y'all, this is Grant Malloy Smith, and the first Christmas song that I listen to every year to kick off the season is Oh Holy Night.
Hi, this is James Robert Webb, and the first Christmas song that I listen to every year to kick off the holiday season and kind of get me in the mood is actually My Favorite Things by John Coltrane. And maybe it's not a Christmas song, actually, but it just feels like one.
Hi, this is Cliff Beach, a funk and soul singer from Los Angeles. And the first Christmas song that I listen to every year to kick off the season is Soulful Christmas by James Brown, which I have also covered on my album, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Whatever you decide to listen to, I hope that you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And continue to listen to the sounds of Christmas.
Thanks so much, everybody, for making time for us today. And happy holidays.
Yes, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Yep, thanks, Ken.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page, which lists most, if not all, of the streaming sites that carry the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.